Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls. Today on episode 84.
I want to get the opinion and feedback and input from my team members because they might be closer to the detail. They might have additional ideas. They might have different solutions than what I have. So as a leader, I don't see myself as the only one having all the answers. I truly want to harness the ideas and creativity of each of my team members and bring them to the table. And in order to do that, my focus is on building a strong team culture and building a safe space where everyone dares to speak up and dares to share their opinion without having to think, am I saying the right thing? Is this going to be a silly idea?
Today on episode 84, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Pamela Kellard, a strategic leadership expert with over 17 years of experience working in strategy and project management, heading teams at leading organizations across Australia, Asia, Europe, and North America. She's managed over $100 million in infrastructure projects with teams of over hundreds of people, and is a firm believer of the philosophy, "Be the change you want to see in the world" by Mahatma Gandhi, she committed herself to assisting women in their professional journey. In 2021, she created Women Leading in STEM, an organization dedicated to supporting women to elevate their leadership profile, and holds a Master of Science in Management, has several project management credentials, and is a certified Scrum Master and a certified UMAP coach. So thank you so much, Pamela, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here. I don't know, it's such a pleasure to join you because I find that your podcast is really, really important to show more people about what a STEM career path could look like. Because there are many, many ways of what it could look like. I'll start a bit about by sharing about my path, because I would say that I had a bit of an indirect entry into STEM. So I actually initially decided to go to and study business administration with a particular focus on international business administration. So I didn't necessarily dive directly into STEM, but at school I really loved STEM, especially mathematics and chemistry, but I also loved languages. So when it came to deciding what to study, I decided business administration is going to allow me to travel the world and use my different various languages that I've learned. So after my business administration degree, I went into strategy. And strategy is really a fascinating topic and field to work in because it's all actually about solving business problems and finding solutions. So a core skill that's necessary in strategy is to dissect a problem into its sub-problems, find a solution, gather it up, you know, find data and analyze data, and thereby creating a solution. For example, the problem could be, how do we grow as a business? Where do we find more customers? How do we generate more income? So those questions I found always fascinating. And it's that capability in problem solving that I loved so much that I later on translated into a new career path, namely into project management. So for many, many years, I've worked in the rail industry. It's a very traditional industry, but extremely exciting, I tell you. I could tell you the whole hour just about it. Extremely exciting. And I love being in rail. And initially, I was there as the head of strategy to design a strategy for Asia Pacific. And later on, I moved on to become a project manager myself, namely together with the team delivering projects like delivering new trains. And it was so much fun.
I love that. I mean, What you had before was you were really interested in languages, so you decided to merge that with your interest in chemistry and math. So you decided to not really confine yourself based on, okay, one type of field, but you decided to have an open mind and expand your interest to so many different domains. And I really loved how you just like have the confidence to pursue that. Because typically what I do is I hold myself into being like, okay, I just like math and I just like science, so I'm gonna either do one of the two. But what you did was you had an open mind and you were flexible to, merge a bunch of different interests into your career path.
Yeah, absolutely. Because professions also evolve, the world evolves and opportunities evolve. So had you asked me early on in my youth, would I ever become a project manager and deliver trains, I would have probably thought, really? It doesn't sound too attractive for me. But once I grew in the rail industry, understood the complexity, how international it is, and how fascinating it is to work with the many teams together, that's where I truly found my passion. So often we cannot determine our career from the start. It evolves and we evolve, and suddenly we uncover new interests. So I think it does help to stay open-minded to a certain extent.
I love that. So this is a great transition to my question for you, which is tell us a bit about your career path.
As I mentioned, I started in business and then later on moved into strategy. And by transferring, I looked at what are some of the skills that I can transfer into something else. And it was really the problem-solving capability that I transferred into project management. Because I worked many years in the rail industry. In there, imagine you have to deliver a train. A train consists of so many different parts. And you have to go through several stages. First, you have to design it, then you have to procure all the single items, then you have to put it together in a production, and then you actually have to taste test it through several tests because it's a safety-related product. So understanding all of those various paths in project management was hugely interesting and exciting. And I think what I found most fascinating about it was the international component. Because when you design something like a train, everything's international about it. The components come from all around the world. You might have, in my case, I had our design team was sitting in Canada. I myself, with the other half of my team, we were sitting in Malaysia and we were reporting to headquarters in Germany. So the setup of how the team is distributed is international. Suppliers are international, the clients as well. So I'd say what really characterized my career path overall was always a certain international component.
I absolutely love that. I mean, one really good thing that I want to share with people is that even if you're in like a specific industry or a type of role, there are a bunch of different things that you're playing with. Like there are different variables and different strengths, but you can always apply that to like a different position, just like what you did. You went to business and then you found strategy and then you were like, you really liked the international part of it, so you pivoted again. So just being able to find your strength and being able to apply that is super beneficial because you don't have to restrict yourself to a specific professional role.
Yes, absolutely. And as professions keep evolving very quickly now with new technologies that emerge, so I think more and more we will less rely just on a profession we have learned, but rather rely on particular skills that we can transfer into a new space. So yes,
Absolutely.
it helps to test out different skills to try to identify what am I good at, also identify what am I not so good at, and it's okay, we cannot be perfect in everything. So just to focus on the areas that we're really good at and transfer those skills.
Absolutely. And this is a great segue to my question over here, which is what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
Yeah, I have many. I want to focus on one. As I mentioned earlier, I had a particularly strong international component in my career. And I deliberately built on that because I just love learning new languages and love being in new cultures. And there's a reason why, if you do have a chance to live and work abroad, I would highly recommend to take the chance. Because when we are living in a new culture, We really not only learn about the new culture, we also continuously start to reflect about our own culture, namely from the country we come from, but also about our own individual values. It really helps us to grow personally because we continuously need to reflect about, okay, who is the Pamela gonna be that shows up now in this new culture? And then maybe we merge a little bit, we take a little bit of the things that we love from this culture A and culture B. It just takes us on a very beautiful personal journey where we get to learn more about ourselves. And we wouldn't have that reflection opportunity if we just always stayed in the same familiar environment. It really challenges us a little bit to think about, okay, why do I react this way? Or why is it, for example, super important for me to be punctual versus maybe in a culture where punctuality is not so important?
Absolutely. And it's really cool to see what other people are doing, in different environments, because I only like see different cultures and different environments through the TV. And, it's nice to experience things by yourself, like being able to see, okay, if I'm going to immerse myself into this environment, what's going to happen? What do the people do here? What languages do they speak? And just being able to be really local and stay grounded is really, really interesting. And it's also a really cool conversation starter saying, like, hey, I've been to X, Y, and Z. And it's super cool. So I think that's really amazing.
Absolutely. And the world's also becoming smaller, right? So even if we don't live abroad, we will end up working with people from different cultures and countries, even with remote work, right? So it helps us to understand a little bit where other people are coming from. We all, our cultures also really impact the way we communicate, whether we enter a conversation directly to the point or whether we need a bit of a warm-up phase by talking about the weather first. Every culture has a different way of going about it. So it helps us to become a little bit more sensitive to the nuances in a cultural environment, intercultural environment.
Absolutely, because it's also good to be open-minded and see, like, okay, where are these people like doing and what are they coming from, and just understanding, okay, different experiences and perspectives. Because if you stay holed up in one specific area, you're going to be like, okay, I think this is just how life is like and there's nothing else to it. But if you see like a different team or a different person from a different background, you'll be like, okay, I'm opening myself up to learning more about someone else, and that's actually really good for you as well.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely.
All right. And my question for you is, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
You know what? So I'm gonna talk now a little bit more about project management as such, because I just love that profession. And often I find that people think that project management is only for engineers. But you would be surprised how it's also possible for non-engineers to become project managers. And I'm such an example, right? Because I'm not an engineer, but I've learned a lot of technical details. I think as long as you just have an open mind and a willingness to learn about the core elements from the technical background that are important, then you can do it. Because project management is actually not about managing the technical thing, rather about managing the overall project. So we really look into more what is the actual scope and understanding, particularly the client's requirements. What does the client really need? Sometimes there are misunderstandings between what is the requirements of the client. And as a project manager, I really need to create a strong relationship with the client and other stakeholders to understand what is it that we can deliver. And then share with the team those insights so that we can deliver the things that are going to fit the client's requirements. The other aspect is managing budget and managing time. So again, for those things, you don't need to be an engineer. You need to understand what the components are of the scope that we need to deliver and work very closely with the team. So project managers, actually, a really important skill is leadership skill, because if you look at the big infrastructure projects that I've managed that were, included over 100 people, you cannot do everything on your own. It's impossible. You really need the whole team to work together. So the project manager, the most important task is to work with the team leaders First of all, for them to understand what are the deliverables, what is it that we need to deliver, by when, and what budget do we have? And then together with them, elaborating a plan how to do it. So the core essence of project management is leadership. And most people think it's engineering, understanding the technical side, but it's rather understanding the human and planning side.
Absolutely. And it's kind of about bridging the two because, of course, there are going to be a lot of engineers on your team, but there's also having to reason with them, having to share that with like the client and kind of be like the bridge between the technical but also like the personal side. So a lot of people think that engineering and technologies just hold up into one specific industry, but there's so many different subsets and you are an prime example for that. You pivoted from business to, PM and just being able to be the bridge between, okay, what is a technical and what is a different side of it behind the back, like behind the product and the background to sharing it with like the rest of the world and, just having a different take on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what is a lot of fun. I think I particularly was particularly good, and that's back to the question, try to find what are you really good at. So I'm particularly good in building strong relationships and understanding people. So as a project manager, one of the things I was really good was stakeholder manager, right? So managing my clients, managing all the other parties that either are going to be impacted by the project or have a say in the managing their expectations, understanding their questions and expectations, and bring all those insights into the team. So yes, there is a very strong component also of relationship building outside the team and inside the team.
Absolutely. And my question for you is if you could step into my shoes, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
Yeah, I am very big into leadership. So, for example, you could ask me what is the leadership style that I have? Because one of the things that I see, and maybe we put this also in the category of myth, debunking a myth, many people think that leadership is about a top-down communication. What do I mean by that? Many people think leadership is about just telling people what to do and distributing tasks, right? Without the others asking, just do what I say. But it actually isn't. That's just a one-way communication style. And my style is much more inclusive. I want to get the opinion and feedback and input from my team members because they might be closer to the details. They might have additional ideas. They might have different solutions than what I have. So as a leader, I don't see myself as the only one having all the answers. I truly want to harness the ideas and creativity of each of my team members and bring them to the table. And in order to do that, my focus is on building a strong team culture and building a safe space where everyone dares to speak up and dares to share their opinion without having to think, am I saying the right thing? Is this going to be a silly idea?
I love that because a big stereotype is that a leader is like really a really bad person, can only share their idea, like really a dick, like a really big dictator. And it's kind of sad because when you try to destigmatize that, because there are a lot of leadership roles even with students. And if you say you want to be the leader, then that means you have to, carry the entire project, bear the burden, I guess. And it gets kind of hard. So people might think that, okay, I'm gonna tie that illusion with being a dictator, so I can't be a leader because that means that only I can speak and I can't let anyone else do things. And so it's pretty destigmatized, but I think that's a really big myth because a leader itself is a big role, of course, but they also have the responsibility to share like different ideas with the team and allow the team to get different ideas as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I really don't know where this myth comes from, but I know that many think that leadership or management is like a bit of a dictatorship. And since I also coach leaders into their first leadership role, they also carry that myth with themselves, and they impose on themselves the burden of having to make all decisions of having to know all solutions or come up with all solutions, and it's too much of a burden. So why not tap into the creativity of the whole team, right? Everybody wants to contribute, so let's tap into that and do it together.
Absolutely. And my question for you is, what are the best resources slash books that have helped you find your career path?
Yeah, a book that actually really ties in nicely what we've just said is a book by Marshall Goldsmith. He is a coach himself. And the book is called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And it really speaks about the new skills we need to learn as we step into a leadership role. Because initially, when we work in the technical term is as an individual contributor, so when we're not a leader, but we are basically working on the task, we basically shine through our, let's say, more technical skills. But when we step into a leadership role, as the title says, what got you here, your technical skills won't get you there. As every time we step into a new level, we actually need to learn new skills. And in this case, it's leadership skills. When we step into a leadership role and when we step into a senior leadership role, then again, we have additional skills that we need to learn. So that's why I really love this book and recommend it to everyone who's starting to think about their first leadership role, because it opens your mind to what are some of the new additional skills, different skills that I need to learn in addition.
I love that because, as you said before, professions are always evolving. So it's really, really good to have different interests because you can always pivot, okay, and it's really good to have interests because one, you're going to expand your hobbies, you get to find different things you like, but two, you can also have that on a professional advantage. So, what got you here, like this type of role, might not get you there. So you might have to use a different strength of yours and might have to play to that advantage.
Yes, absolutely. And I think why I love this book so much, I always speak about it. It's because it invites us to reflect, right? Okay. To reflect and honor what got me here, because, those skills serve me. So good, honor them. And then just pivot and start thinking about what does that make space also for the new skills that we then need to learn and new experiences we need to gain as well.
Absolutely. Like what got you here might not get you there, and what served you here might not serve you later on. So it's good to pivot and be flexible and to have that open mind like, okay, what else can help me and what else can I play to with my strengths?
Absolutely. And I love what you just mentioned. You just said it's not only about what got you here, but also, the habits, what served you up until now, and what is no longer going to serve you in the future. Because we can do the same with habits and mindsets, the ways of thinking. That's also something that needs to evolve over time. Yeah, it's good to have regularly a time to reflect and see what needs to go and what needs to stay.
Absolutely. And there's this book that I've read quite some time ago. It's pretty popular, Atomic Habits by James Clear. It just talks about habits and how to build habits. So sometimes you might have to leave old ones, sometimes you have to bring new ones. So your brain is always trainable. So it's not like a really, really hard thing, but your brain is always able to do that for you.
Yes, absolutely. I've actually just recently read that book and I loved it. And I
Yeah.
love how it speaks about, creating a system around you, which is going to help you to create better habits. That's also really important.
It's been quite some time, so it's been like 2-ish years, but that's like the main thing I remember from the book.
Yeah. Great, great.
Okay, and what do you think is a vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it, and what was your life after learning it?
That, if I tell a little bit more about myself, is I was born in Bolivia. And Bolivia is unfortunately a country that for many years has gone through political turmoil. So it wasn't very stable. So my parents decided to move to Germany when I was a child. And so I grew up here in Germany. My parents didn't speak German, I didn't speak German. And we basically started a new life here in Germany. which, really comes with challenges because basically my parents couldn't help me with my homework or later on with my studies. My parents didn't have a network to help me find an internship or, other resources that maybe some of my peers had. So from very early on, I realized, okay, I'm basically on my own. I had to navigate this place pretty quickly. Because I was so young, I was able to learn German very quickly, and I started helping my parents out with translating things from Spanish into German. So my parents gave me a lot of emotional support and gave me a beautiful upbringing. But in terms of professional career, I realized very quickly that I had to learn to navigate it on my own. And I think it actually was a good experience. Why? Because I had to then on my own find a way, how can I find resources? Whether it is, learning new things through books, what type of books are going to help me to build a career like the one that I've just mentioned, or to find resources like talking to people who have had a career that I would like maybe to have and learn from them, finding mentors. So basically, because I didn't have that from my family, I had learned to build those resources on my own. And that was a core learning because then every time that I pivoted my career, right, like from business into project management, or every time I moved overseas, I knew I had developed a methodology how to always build a career, build a network wherever I went. And that again is a transferable skill that has been incredibly invaluable. I think what helps us is to build those skills of finding resources, right? Whether it's knowledge, whether it's people and building networks and building a supportive network around us. I'd say that that's really a core skill that has helped me to shape my career.
I love that. And from early on, you realized that you needed to go on out, individually. You had to do it by yourself. You had to do all the heavy lifting alone. But then you realized that, with support, you have a network, you could rely on people. And if you, put yourself out there, you get out of your comfort zone, like you didn't know how to speak German, you didn't know how to do your homework with your parents' help, but you realize that you can ask questions and there are people out there willing to support you. And being like confident to actually take hold of that opportunity is so amazing. And it served you well. So I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that's what everyone who's listening, I would like to share because, sometimes we don't grow up with all the possibilities that others may have, but take it as an opportunity for yourself to develop a method how to find your resources, build your own network, because learning that skill early on is just going to serve you for the rest of your life.
I love that. And my last question for you before we end off is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
Yeah, I think I really wish I had had more exposure to STEM, to the STEM sector. I think if I had had maybe, I don't know, either more engineers in my family or more exposure to IT or chemistry, I would have maybe chosen to go directly in that path. I feel like I had a bit of an indirect path into STEM, but I think that's the only thing I wish I had had earlier. But I think what you can take also from my career path is that if you truly take the time to understand your strength, it doesn't matter, you'll end up in the best way anyway, because your strength and your interests are gonna draw you towards that. So even if you don't find the right place at the beginning, you'll eventually end up there.
I absolutely love that. Well, thank you so much, Pamela, for being here today. Just like a little quick question. Do you have any last words to the audience who's listening right now?
I just really wish you all the best. What I can say to you is no matter what you decide to study or what your first career start is going to be, you always have the opportunity to change later on and to continue to explore. So a choice does not define the rest of your life. So keep exploring and finding out where's the best place for you.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Pamela, for being here today. I absolutely love talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Anna. It has been such a pleasure. Thank you.
And here are my 3 cents on this episode with Pamela. 1. Embrace international exposure. Her enjoyment of having an international component in her corporate life showcases the value of embracing diverse cultural backgrounds and perspective. By immersing yourself in diverse environments, you can learn to navigate cross-cultural communication and collaboration more effectively. 2. Continuous learning and open-mindedness. Her willingness to take in new cultural backgrounds and perspectives demonstrates the importance of having an open mind and being receptive to trying new things. By continuously seeking out opportunities to learn and explore, you can expand your skill set, broaden your perspective, and stay ahead in an ever-evolving business landscape. And 3, leadership and mentorship. Her commitment to assisting women in their professional journey, as evidenced by her creation of Women in Leading in STEM, highlights the significance of leadership and mentorship in driving positive change. By fostering mentorship relations and championing diversity and equality, you can help create a more supportive and equitable environment for all professionals, regardless of gender or background. Thus, that concludes the episode for this week. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show, and it helps others discover it too. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Dito, you're listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arna's News. Toodles!